All right. Okay. Week three Q&A. We are basically halfway through the learning part of the program, which is a good thing. And I always get a bit worried when we get to this stage of the program, because human brain is such that people start to crave, you know, the thing that I was warning about at the beginning of the program, this whole thing of intellectual entertainment, because now things are starting to get real. Everybody knows what they should be doing in terms of going out and starting to knock on those doors. We've kind of reached that stage. And I structured the program this way deliberately. I wanted to start with the work part, which is really just getting your communication in place and being able to reach out to people. So for the remainder of the program, from my side, it's going to be, there's a lot of exciting stuff that I'm going to be teaching. The more intellectual stuff that people crave, the stuff that excites the brain. So the remaining kind of content will be very, really exciting. And I'm hoping it will be motivating, so that people can actually take action and be like, oh my God, there's so much money on the table to go after. So the remaining weeks, there'll be that. And then the other thing will be, the other thing will be, then what? You know, we reach out to them, they invite us for these meetings, and then what do we do? So that's another part that we're going to delve into. And then the biggest part, I think, will be me working with you guys to get your stuff ready, get going, so to speak, because ultimately that's really the goal here. The goal is to get out there. The goal is to get out of the safety and the comfort of learning, to get in the field. it's like reading a book about exercise. You know, it's nice when you read, you know, these are the muscles that you need to develop and all that. But then at some point, the author will say, put down the book and hit the gym or hit the road, you know, and get running, put on your shoes, put on your training apparel. And I think that's where we are. And I think that's really the fun part. That's really, as much as learning is fun and exciting, but getting stuff out there, getting people responding to your emails. I mean, you guys, you already know this because you've done deals before. It's just that it probably was not as structured as we are doing it now. You know what that feels like. Of course, you're going to get the negative responses as well, where people say, you know, sorry, not interested. But we spoke about that. The whole thing about going for no, you know, you're going to get those. It's just the way life works. You get that in everything. So, but the key is really getting out there and making things happen. So I'm a bit nervous, but at the same time, I'm excited. As I said, I'm nervous because I know that the brain starts wanting to sit back. Oh, no, we're not ready yet. So what else is he going to teach us next week? Let me wait for next week. And then next week, let me wait for the other week. I want you guys to get moving. I think the call that I did with Zibu last week, I think it was a very, very useful call for almost everyone, if not for everybody here, because it was like real case of what she's working on right now. And as much as, you know, in fact, everything that we touched on, I think it applies to everybody. But some of the things may be hard to appreciate until you are actually working on your own project. So I want to really avail myself and invite you guys to make yourselves available to just connect with me on similar calls like the one I did with Zibu, so that I can actually help you, because I really want you to get results. You know, that's when I take people on a program like this, I don't get a lot of joy in the teaching of it. I get a lot of joy in the feedback that I get, not from them, but from their results. So more than anything, I really want us to start getting these things to the world and getting results. Anyway, coming to today's session, I don't have a lot of questions, actually, as it happens. I don't have a lot of questions that I have to deal with. I received two questions from Ashraf. One of those questions was a question he asked me on Monday during our call, the call that we had on Monday. And I said we would deal with it later if we had time. Unfortunately, we ran over time. We couldn't deal with that question. So I kind of parked it on the side for today. And as it happened, he also resent it to me because he parked it on the site as well. He resent it to me today. And so those are the two questions. I'm going to read these. They're both on my WhatsApp. So if you guys have, I think after these questions, if you guys have questions, I can take those right now. So you can still prepare your questions to ask me regarding the stuff that we covered this week. All right, let me pull out Ash's questions. All right, so I'm just gonna read what he sent to me so that you also get, also wrap your heads around what I'm looking at. So he says, "Hi, Sia. I would like input on this sponsorship / partnership opportunity. My business partner in the US has successfully trained 14,000 career coaches and HR managers globally in the use of career assessment tools, which is fine and engaging. Cost of somebody's mic is live. Ash, I think that's you. I think your mic is live. Can you just unmute? Can you mute yourself? Sorry. I'm also admitting some new people that are joining the call right now. Sorry about that. So let me come back. So it says, the cost of a 3-day certification to be fully competent in using his tools is $1,100. I'm looking for a sponsor or partner for venue, meals, finger food, beverages, etc. Ideal partner is UCT GSB. They obviously have career guidance professionals that can benefit from the training. I am thinking we could offer them a special deal. Not sure how many staff of theirs might need this training. Not sure what kind of deal to strike with them. Could offer them a discounted rate or free training depending on the numbers in exchange for sponsoring whole event. Looking for 24 people to train per event. Not sure which department of UCT to approach." And then that's the first question. So the second question, or should I say the first set of questions. So the second question is, how to get a company to sponsor a school hall at my daughter's special needs school. Would love your input on the Q&A today. Alrighty, so that's what Ash sent to me. All right. I'm actually trying to admit people, but it seems that the thing is hanging on their side. I'm just seeing all these messages joining, but they are not able to come through, but maybe they'll get that sorted out. Maybe it's just their network where they are. All right, so Ash, can you unmute yourself so I just can understand your question. If I'm understanding your question, you have a business partner in the US who coaches career coaches. His program is $1,100, his certification program. Yeah. You would like to what? To teach this, or you would like to bring him here? Yeah. And I want us to just keep it in line with each question so that I can spend more time answering it. So would you like to bring him here, or will you teach it yourself?
No, so I would like to bring him here.
Okay.
The thing is, I am certified in using these tools. I went to San Diego end of last year.
Sure.
To be certified in his methods.
Okay.
However, my whole idea and his business partner, actually we share this idea, is for him to come down to South Africa to basically conduct these workshops live and certify people here in South Africa in these tools and methods. And then simultaneously, I will be certified to conduct the training myself.
I see. Okay. Get
with the whole idea of conducting this training in South Africa as well as in different African countries as well.
Get it. Okay, cool. So the people who, you need 24 people to sign up for the program, right?
Per event, yes.
Per event. And these people will pay 1100 USD.
Each, yes.
Per person, of course.
Yes.
So, and who's going to bring these people into the program?
So that is my job.
You will promote this training or certification program. You'll promote it, get people to enroll and pay, and then organize the whole thing because you are here, organize the venue, et cetera, et cetera. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And then just to give you a brief background is that, so my JV partner and me, our deal is the proceeds of all of this will be used to cover his flights, his accommodation, you know, whatever expenses of the event. And after all profits, we will share the profits.
Sorry, after what? After costs?
After costs, we share the profit, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay. To me, I think I've got two answers for you for this question. My first answer is the venue part is a small part of this effort. But you probably know that already. If I were you, I would rather, because the venue, the cost, I mean, if you look at the cost of the event, which, how much is it if you convert like 20 grand, let's say, people will pay like 20 grand plus to attend this thing. Cost of venue and food, even if you were renting the venue for a group of that size, it will still cost you, it won't even cost you 10 grand at, you know, for the 2 days.
Okay.
It won't really cost you that much money. So if I were you, I would focus on identifying the type of people you need and start selling the thing, you know, like seriously. Okay. I would focus on selling the thing right now. The venue is really a small part. So that's the first part of my answer to you. And also this thing can only happen probably next year anyway, which means, you know, you've got time, you know, if you really want to do this, I would start putting the whole plan together. Even if I haven't secured a venue, I would get quotes from venues. And I would still promote it. Even if I haven't secured a venue, I would still promote it and sell the tickets to this event. And just say, if it's going to be in Cape Town, I'd just say Cape Town. If it's going to be in Joburg, I'd just say Joburg. And then people will say, where exactly? You just tell them that you're still finalizing those details. Nobody will say, I'm not going to book until I know exactly which venue. People in Cape Town, they know that they can get anywhere in Cape Town. I mean, it's either going to be in the CBD, Waterfront, Newlands, like it's going to be in, even if it's in Tiger Valley and elsewhere, like those areas, people can get that, you know? So the whole venue thing is really not a train smash in the bigger scheme of things. So that would be the first thing. Focus on selling tickets, get people to book and pay deposits, whichever way you want to do it. And then the second part then, which is now a direct response to your question, is it's actually easy to do a deal like this. Whether you do it now or you do it, in fact, if you do it now, chances are people would give you a venue. Because think about all these, not that if you do the event, if you do the asking, if you do the asking now, chances are there'll be so many places that are falling over themselves to offer you the venue, because all the venues are literally on standby right now. They are not worth much to their owners because nothing is going on. So people would be open to listening to you, especially if there's something of value that you are giving in exchange for the venue. Let's go with UCT GSP. Let me start also with one of your questions where you said you don't know which department. The department to approach would be marketing for UCT GSP. I don't know who the person is at this moment there, but you can get that information. Just contact them and ask for marketing and speak to whoever is in charge of marketing. It's really that simple. And then what should you offer them? In exchange for their venue, you can, if you think your program can be beneficial to their people, you can offer them to have maybe two people max. Because even if you were hiring the venue, like I said, it wouldn't cost you more than 10 grand. You know,
yes.
for of course, the place is different. It may cost you, let's just say it cost you 20 grand. That's still one ticket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you give them a place for one person to attend the program in exchange for the venue. But more than anything, you know, what I said at the beginning of the program, it's about asking, it's about understanding what they want. You know, the best way to do some of these deals, if you don't know, like we said earlier this week, Ash, can you yes. mute yourself? Sorry, I don't have any more questions for you at this point. Sure. So like I said earlier in the week on the program, that you want to do your research. So I would ask them, what would they want if you were to do a venue, if they were to partner with you by offering you a venue, and you show them what the benefit would be for them in partnering with you in this way. And you say to them, look, I can give you a ticket for one person, and the value of the ticket is 20,000 Rand, which is probably more than the price of the venue. So, and then you ask them, would that be okay? Or is there anything else you guys would like in this partnership? That way they would tell you what they would like. Another opportunity I see with this is that you can also do an affiliate partnership deal with them. Because if, for instance, because one of the hardest thing about doing an event is selling tickets. You know, one of the hardest things, people who do events, they'll tell you, one of the hardest things about doing events is getting people to buy tickets, especially when tickets are a high ticket, like 20,000 Rand in this economy, especially. So if you haven't done anything of this sort where you sell 20 grand tickets, you will see that it's actually not an easy thing to do. So another deal you can do with UCT Graduate School of Business is to partner with them, where they become your partner in putting together the event. And you agree that they can also promote the event. And you be transparent with them in terms of, you know, what the costs are, like flying this guy to South Africa, accommodating him here. They may actually even help you with that because they've got a hotel, the Graduate School of Business. They also have a relationship with the hotel right there at the GSP. So they can accommodate him to reduce your costs. Then they become your third partner. What that could do for you, it would, because they've got a database. They've got a database of business people in Cape Town. In fact, in South Africa, they've got a database of former students. They are alumni who are MBAs, who work for top companies, who are executives at some of the top organizations in South Africa. They can just send a few emails and people would buy tickets to your event without you having to do anything. So I could also do a deal like that where I bring them on board as a third partner, which also will add credibility to this event, because it would have their brand, kind of attached to it. In fact, that's probably how I would do it. I like things that where I don't have to do a lot of heavy lifting, and I still get, you know, value, a lot of value. And what you will also get as a result of this, you will have access to some of these people who probably are executives in companies. I know that one of your interests is doing coaching in corporates. So if you've got the right people at your event, then you've got a relationship with these people. Then they can hire you for other things for the companies that they represent, for the companies they work for, you know. So that's how I would approach this deal. I would actually do a bigger deal with you, with the Graduate School of Business, than just the venue. Bring them on board as a partner. I know that they will take a part of your profits, but I would think long term. You know, I would think beyond the front end in terms of the money being made. I would also think of the back end sales that can come out as a result of the caliber of people who would be part of this program. And then, you know, plan maybe three of these per year. Have a calendar of events where your coach guy comes. Oh, in fact, you said after this one, you would do this. So now the second one and the third one, you don't need to bring in the guru from the US. You can do those. Yeah, you pay him whatever you need to pay him. You run these with the GSB, you split those profits. I mean, it could actually work for the long term. You will have a ready-made market. You know, you won't have to struggle to find people to participate in your program. Ash, if you can unmute yourself and tell me if this helps you.
Wow, yeah. Those suggestions are really great, and I also tend to, after listening to you, I would prefer the latter one of doing a bigger deal with them. And then the other idea that came to mind is I would probably be able to then roll out similar things with, let's say, BITS University. Or, you know, in other cities as well.
Sure, Gibbs, actually. Gibbs may be open to something like that. Because they already have an event model that is very well known and well received in Gauteng. So Gibbs may be actually, I would probably look at Gibbs even before VITS, but I would look at all of them. VITS, UP, you know, UJ and other venues, you know, and other you know, hosts. Anyway, but for now, I think it's really about getting it going for the first one. Before we talk about all the other possibilities, get the first one going. I see Zibu's mic is unmuted. Maybe she wants to add something to this. Zibu, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that UCT has an integral coaching program. Gibbs has one. A lot of places have coaching programs. So please really focus on whatever it is that will be the differentiator and make people want to come to your program versus somebody else's.
Yes, yes. So I actually did UCT's integral coaching program. I'm actually certified in the integral coaching methodology, which makes me wonder whether the Center for Coaching is the right department to approach. Because their program is integral coaching, which is much more holistic, and this is much more targeted at career coaching professionals, as well as HR managers.
Yeah, I think, Ash, that's actually a really good approach, because also if you did the integral coaching with UCT, then you know that Craig seems to look around, he seems to feel around for different ways that they can offer the program. I know there was the time when they had a safari suggestion in Zambia. So I think maybe I would speak to him.
Okay, that's cool. Thanks. Thanks very much for that suggestion. I will definitely touch base with him, Zebo. See, I just had one other thing to add in there. Because this is a high ticket program, my partner actually suggested, because these tools are actually physical tools. There is an online version as well. And what he suggested is that I actually schedule like short coffee meetings with HR managers to demonstrate the use of the tools to them. In that way, they get to experience the tools firsthand, kind of like a free taster, before wanting to go deeper. I'm just wondering now, I don't know, maybe it's to tap into everyone's experience here on the call. You know, how ready are HR departments to have, you know, in-person meetings with people? Alternatively, what I could do is I could purchase the online assessments. If I purchase the online assessments for them to experience it, then I'm incurring costs. But if I meet with them physically, I've got the tools to basically demonstrate the use of it to them.
Okay, I'm going to be quick on this one, Ash, because I still need to answer your second question and then move on to other people's questions. Okay, I don't think anyone can have an answer on how ready are HR departments or HR people to meet physically. I assume you're basing that question on the whole COVID situation right now. I think it depends. I think it would be a person by person kind of situation. But what I would say is that if there are people you want to meet with, reach out to them and find out if they're ready to meet. And if they are, then you meet with them. If they're not ready to meet, you connect with them via Zoom. And I would hang 10 on buying online. I mean, I don't know what that would cost you anyway, but I would hang 10 on buying things, buying assessments to hand out just to test the waters. I think it's important to have a strategy in terms of what it is, how you want to go about what's your process? Like, what's your funnel? You know, who are you attracting? You know, in fact, what I might have spoken about, you know, my alphabet process. You know, what is your attraction plan? What is how do you build buying desire? You need to have those things in place. And then once you've got these people's attention, you've got these meetings with them, what is your plan? You know, what are you trying to convert them into? You know, are you gonna, you've got to be ready basically, because where's the end of getting people to taste stuff? You know, the whole freemium model, it's been an, you know, it's a model that is really starting to change, by the way. I mean, it's been around for I'd say just over 20 years, but now we're starting to see a shift away from the freemium model towards getting people to make decisions quicker in terms of buying your stuff, you know. So that's why you gotta have your process ready so that you don't waste time and money getting people to taste and taste and taste and taste and actually nothing happens. But I think we can always talk about that another time. But I think the key question which relates to what we are doing to this program, I think at least you said we answered it in a way that was satisfactory for you. So I think let's move on. All right. So your second question was, how to get a company to sponsor a school hall at your daughter's special needs school? That's a great question because it relates directly to what we are doing here. If you look at what we've done, in fact, that question in some way is a question we've kind of answered to some degree all over these past 2-3 weeks. It's important to identify which companies you would like to partner with. Like, what are the values of your daughter's school, for instance? What are the values, and what companies align with those values? Because that's very important, you know. Rather than getting a company whose values clash with you, and who, I think this question actually brings something I may not have touched on. How do I decide who to go after? Because I'm sure some of you are probably wondering, how do you decide who to go after as a partner? For me, it's research. I started at the research phase. So what would I do if I were you right now, Ash? The first thing I would do, the obvious suspects obviously are companies that deal with construction and building. For instance, companies that sell building materials, they could sponsor building materials for your daughter's schools, for your daughter's school. Another company that is probably maybe a construction company, they may sponsor their services, to build the actual building, because it makes sense for them to do that, because CSI is a very important part for companies, and companies, rather than giving money, they would rather give their services or their products. So those are the obvious suspects. You know, if you could look at some companies that sell building supplies, I would shortlist those companies. Companies that are in construction, I would shortlist those companies. And then another thing I would do, I would get a CSI handbook. You know, there's a handbook that, I don't know if they still publish this. And I think I gave you the same answer for another question a couple of weeks back. This CSI handbook is an annual handbook that profiles South African corporates. And they are the types of projects that they focus, that their giving is focusing on, that their CSI giving is focusing on. Then I would look at companies that do education, education primarily, and that also do community development, those types of things, and also companies that sponsor, you know, projects for people with disabilities, those kinds of things. I would look at those things because there is alignment there. And then another thing I would look at would be, what is it about the school that can benefit that company? One of the things you mentioned in one of the calls was that your daughter's school is facing one of the kind of major highways in Cape Town, you know, the M5. I don't know if it's a highway, but it's definitely one of the busy roads in Cape Town. And you also spoke about the possibility of advertising on the wall of the school facing that major road. So that could be of great value to your potential partner. They would love the opportunity to have that kind of visibility. Obviously, something like that, you may just have to check the bylaws, the city bylaws for advertising and that kind of thing, which I don't think would be a problem. But before you do anything of the sort, I would just check with the city, make sure that you won't be violating any advertising bylaws by having a billboard or whatever. Or they may not even have to advertise on the wall of the school. They could even have a billboard inside the school premises. If there is, let's say, a corner within the school that is facing the highway, they could have a billboard right alongside the fencing of the school that would be facing the highway. Again, I would check with the city with regards to bylaws. So already that's something that would be a worthy exchange for a company. And then other companies I would look at are companies that, I'm not sure if your daughter's school is a Muslim school, but I'll assume for now, because I don't have time to bring you back, I assume that it's a Muslim school. I would also look at companies that are Muslim based. In fact, one of those companies without committing myself, is run by a friend. The name of the company is SAPNT, is Nexia SAPNT. And I know that Bashir Adam, is very big on supporting, in fact, supports a whole lot of things, not just things that relate to Islam or Muslims. But companies like that may have a certain affinity and passion for a school like your daughter's school. So there's quite a lot of, but these, what I've just given you basically would be, I would say, good places to start. And then ask them, that's another thing. Always ask, I think I can't emphasize this enough. Always ask, what do they want? If they did this, you know, on top of the fact that you will already show them what the value is, I would also ask them, what would you want? Because that question, it reveals what they would like. That would make this an easy deal to make happen. You know, what do they desire? You know, because nobody has a desire to give somebody something. Of course, that's probably debatable. Some people may argue that, but people have the desire to do that because they want something. You know, someone once said, "There's no such thing as real, like, absolute altruism." You know, even the most altruistic person on earth, there's something that they get in return. You know, there's something that they get in return, whether it's just satisfaction, whether it's something that supports the beliefs they hold that they should be helping people on this. They are here to help others on earth. But that is a reward. That in itself is a reward. You know, so there's an itch that everybody has, and it's always scratched by something. You know, and so it's always important to find out what people want. I'm hoping that these questions that you asked and the answers that we are giving, I'm hoping that they also help other people, because that's the whole point, right, of these Q&As, so that we do them in this way so that everybody can benefit from other people's questions. Ash, 30 seconds, unmute. Tell me if I answered your question.
No, thanks very much, Sia. I really appreciate that feedback. So I'll get going with these strategies.
Cool. So I guess the next conversation you and I will be having, we will be looking at you reaching out to these organizations. We won't be, no more, we're not going to be, and I'm not just saying this to you, by the way, Ash, I'm literally talking to everyone in the group. We're not going to be saying, oh, how about this, how about that? We're going to be saying, here's a letter, here's a draft. See, here's a draft. Let's look at this draft and see if it's ready to go. So that's where we are now. All right.
Yes,
cool stuff. Thanks, Ash.
100%. Cool.
All righty. Thanks, you. Man.
Okay, bye.
Okay, guys, the line is now... If we're treating this as a radio show, we would have an open line right about now, where you guys can fire your questions, and let's try to keep them within the program. Hey Norma, I see you are unmuted there.
It's not a question. I think for me, it's just a thank you as well. Just what the tips you've given, Ash. And just to say, we're looking for partnerships. I'm in the events business. So if you ever do look for venues, people are screaming right now, Shem, they do need that business. It just depends what type of a venue you're looking for.
Thanks, Norma. The lines are open. I'm not seeing the phone line flashing, guys, as they would say on radio, saying the lines are flashing because there are so many callers.
I just want to say hello, Zibu. That's all.
Okay. I'm sure Zibu heard you. All right. Cool. Thank you.
She did hear. Hi.
And this is not a dedication line, just so you guys know. All right. I see Nobusha's line is open. I've got three lines that are open. I don't know. You guys can go. Whoever goes first. I'm here.
Okay. Let me go. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Nobusha.
Yes. Hi. Okay. I have got a question. How do you include the money issue on the email? Do you include it on the email, or maybe you talk about it when meeting in person?
Good question. Great, great, great question. By the money issue, before you go, if you can come back.
Okay.
All right, sure. By the money issue, I assume you mean the money that you will get from,
yes,
from the sponsor. I assume it will be a sponsor.
Yes. Okay,
cool. All right. The short answer is that you never talk about money in your email. It's a big no-no. So your first outreach email, you don't say anything about money. Because think about it, and I'm glad you asked this question because it's such a great question. Because think about it, put yourself in their shoes. They don't know you. You are coming and you are proposing a partnership or asking them for a sponsorship. You literally cold. It's a cold email. And within this very first outreach email or letter, you are already talking specifics. You're already talking figures. So you don't talk about money on that one. But what you focus on is, because you want to get them curious. You want to get them, at the very least, get them curious. At best, you want to get them excited. But really, the bar is so low for that first email. You want to get them curious. This sounds interesting. And you also want to get them to see the benefit for them. You know, you want them to see the benefit for them. In your case, based on our conversation on Monday, you may be wondering if the benefit for them, is it only about what they get, or could it also be, because you've got a third party kind of beneficiary. In your case, you want to help like underprivileged communities, you want to help schools and people on drugs and that kind of thing. You may be wondering, then would that be a benefit for them? It could be, you know, to the right partner. If you are coming on board and saying, hey, let's get together to help those people. I'll use an example. When I was asked by the Rotary, when the Rotary Foundation reached out to me and asked me to donate books to the youth from across Southern Africa, and then what I did was to reach out to a few CEOs whom I've gotten to know well because of my books. That ask from the Rotary was a benefit in some way, because it was a benefit for them. When I reached out to them, I was not saying, hey guys, I need your help. I didn't reach out saying, please help me, I need help. I said to them, hey guys, I've been approached by the Rotary. They would like some help. And I have already committed, because even in your case, you've got skills. You're a social worker, you're a nutritionist. So you already have skills that you are contributing to the beneficiary. So when you're roping in a partner, you are saying, I'm already doing this. I'm already contributing my expertise and my time to these communities. And I would like to invite you to partner with me on this. So you're not really the asker here. You're not begging. You're not the charity case, if I may say, put it like that. You are the benefactor in a sense, but you're saying, hey, let's join forces and do this. So that was my approach to the CEOs. I said, hey guys, I'm already doing this, you know, and I think it could be a good thing for you to also be part of this, you know. So it spoke to their need. Remember when I said even altruistic people have a need? So givers, there's something they get for giving, you know? Even if it's just the good feeling of, you know, oh, wow, I'm such a good person. I'm helping the youth, you know? So that's why research is important, to always try to find the right partners whom you know that your message will resonate. But in wrapping up the answer, you never mention money on that first email, but then they'll come, if they say, let's have a meeting, money will be discussed, you know, because it would depend on what it is you want. Because if what you want involves money, then money will have to be discussed. And in fact, next week, I'm busy working on next week's lesson here. Some of the we'll talk about this because I'll bring some samples of, you know, things that get sponsored, that get partnered with. In fact, one of those things, funnily, my daughter's, 16 months old. We were fighting about this little thing that she has, which I won't mention what it is, which she has, which I could see that this thing could have easily been sponsored, could have easily been partnered with. It's something that I think she got from her nursery school. I'm saying we were fighting because it's hers, and I stole it because I wanted to take a picture so that I can show it to you guys on Monday to say, imagine if you did just this little thing and you got maybe R1 million from us, from sponsors about it. But like I said, I'm not gonna reveal it today. I'm only gonna reveal it on Monday. So things like that, money will come up and those deals will be structured. You know, there'll be an agreement in place in terms of what the deal is, what it's about, what the partnership is, what it's about, and what cost implications are there, where money goes. But there is an exception I want to bring in. I know I'm taking a bit long. Asisi was waiting on the wings. Just bear with me. Let me just add this one little
bit. No, she isn't.
When I did my first book with the JSE, remember, I didn't ask them for money, but what I did next, when I after that deal was agreed with the JSE that we are going ahead, we're doing the book, I'm gonna basically cover everything, then I needed a money sponsor. So when I reached out to that sponsor, it was all about money, you know. So I said to them, hey guys, here's what I'm doing with the JSE. I've got the JSE on board. You know, that type of email had a lot of value in it. I had the JSE on board. I had 12 CEOs of multi-million rand companies, of JSE listed companies. So it was really like a hot thing that I had. And what I needed was money. So I said to them, I'd like to invite you to participate in this project with us. Because I think there could be benefits for your brand. I'd like us to discuss what that means. So when we did have a meeting, it went straight to money. Okay, here's what we're doing. We need to produce this book. We need to print so many books. Here's what I'm proposing, that we have your logo in the book in this way and that way and that way for X number of books. In exchange for that, I'd like you guys to contribute X amount of money for the project. But I still didn't include those details in the email. I waited for us to meet, and then it could have been done over the phone easily. After that first email, if let's say it was at a time like this during COVID where people are not meeting, how would I do that deal? I would just do it over the phone, you know. But I would always, 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 when money is involved, always start with value. Stack up the value as much as you can before you say how much. Because the number that people hear first, just generally now, all this is just a general rule for deals. The value people hear first is the value that stays in their minds. And no matter, they don't hear anything. If that value they think is high, they're not gonna hear anything else you say after you name the price. Case in point, you guys on this program, if I said to you before anything else, within 5 minutes of us talking, I said to you, hey guys, let's say you didn't come to my free session that I did. Let's say you didn't read my emails. You never found out about me. You just found out about me. Within 5 minutes, I'm saying, hey, I've got a program. I'm teaching people how to get sponsors and partner with corporates. This program is 30,000 rand. I say that within 5 minutes. And then I say to you, let me tell you why this is so valuable. That 30K will stick with you. You'll be like, 30K? What? You know, so you're not gonna hear a lot of what I'm gonna say. But if I had done it the way I did it, where we had a great session, where I shared with you all the possibilities around this, we got on the phone and we explored the possibilities of really what this could be. And in that process, you were also thinking about what you want, you know, not just, it was not all, I can't take all the credit for you being on the program, because part of you being here was that you sold yourself, because there are things that are important to you that you thought, you know, there are these things that I want to do. And I'm, it sounds like this program can help me with those things that are important to you, specifically to you. And when that became clear to you, the level of desire for the program increased. And then at the end, we got to the price. We said, oh, well, the program is 30K and this is how this deal could be structured. And then from there, I started with 30K, but then I said, actually, we could make it manageable. And, you know, I've continued to stack value even after we mentioned the price. So, but had I said 30K early, even if I don't know what I could have said about value, for most people that would stick with them if they thought 30K was a lot of money. That would have stuck with them to a point where it would have been difficult to move to the next step. So that's what money can do if mentioned at a wrong time in the process. Always, rather, think value. How can I stack up as much value first? And then when they see that value is piled up, then they probably automatically start thinking, what is this going to cost? And then the money part actually becomes a discount of that value, in the sense that when they see the value is so high, and then when you name the price is less than that high value that they perceived, then all of a sudden now they see that thing, this partnership or the sponsorship, as discounted. I am hoping that this is adding value to you guys. I'm hoping this makes sense, and I'm hoping you are getting value out of this. I like these questions because they are forcing me to pull out stuff that is somewhere in the shadows of my mind. Anyway, cool. Nobuhle, did I answer your question? Before we go to Zibo, maybe just unmute yourself and tell me if I answered.
Yes, you did, but I had the second question, but I don't know whether I can go on the second round or maybe I can just wait.
Give me that question and then I'll get Zibo on the line as well. And then maybe I'll just tackle your question and whatever Zibo's going to say.
What's the question? Yes, the second question, it's still within the money issues.
Sure.
I don't know how to put it, but like, can this be money be once off, or it can be a renewed thing? I don't know how to put this.
It depends.
Okay.
It depends on the deal. It can be a once off. It really depends. To be honest, there's no easy answer. There's no simple answer to that question. It depends on the deal. Because if the deal, it really, really depends. Let me not even try, but I can give an example. When I'll use me, because I want to talk about things I've done. You know, not because I want to talk about myself, but it's easy for me to give you my reasoning behind things I've done than to just give you hypothetical scenarios. So here's the thing. Remember when we did the book with Sun, with the JSE, the what I needed money for was to get the first couple of thousand copies of the books printed. So that was a once-off thing. It was easy to do that deal as a once-off. In that there was a finite number of books that had to be printed. Let's just say I needed 10,000 books printed. There's a value that you can assign to that, you know. And then we talk about that first 10,000. And I knew that beyond that first batch of printing, I will have, the book was highly profitable. I will have all the money I need to do reprints going forward. So I knew I was not going to need to be running around getting more and more and more and more and more money. That business was going to drive itself. That was one. That's example one. Example two, when I did events with NetBank, where I was doing monthly events where they provided the venue and they basically covered all the costs of the event. They even filled the venue with people for me. What I needed was a money sponsor. You know, somebody was just going to send me a check for for doing this event every month, because these were done monthly. So it made sense to have one sponsor who was going to just send me recurring checks. So I got Old Mutual on board, and every time we did an event, I knew that they would send me a check because these were recurring events. The other alternative, if let's say Old Mutual, we didn't do it like that with Old Mutual, I would have needed to find a new sponsor for each event. So every event would have, maybe they could take 3 events, 3 months, and then I would have to get another sponsor for another month. So I'd keep changing sponsors. But it was easier to just have one sponsor just sending me the check. Another way I could have done it would have been to have more than one sponsor. You know, I could have gotten, you know, I had NetBank and I had Old Mutual. Those are two related companies. But I couldn't have brought in Sanlam, for instance, because there's a conflict already. Sanlam competes with Old Mutual. So it was never gonna work. But I could have gotten BMW, you know, to come on board, because BMW could benefit from that audience, but they're not a competitor to either of the partners. I could have gotten Avis, I could have gotten an airline, you know, but any other company where there's no direct competition or conflict of interest. So I could have had more than just the one. But I guess I was not greedy enough. I wish I was. I was happy with the deal that I had done. So you could do a once-off, you could do a recurring deal for a fixed period. You know, because they may want to know how long will this commitment be for? Will it be 12 months? I always say try 12 months to begin with, you know. And then if they say, oh, that's too long, then 6 months or 3 months, or do whatever they're comfortable with. If it's 12 months, it can always be renewed for another year. The second time you can renew it for longer. Because if they're happy with the first 12 months, then you could say, why don't we renew it for 2 years? And see how it goes for 2 more years, that is, see how it goes. So, but my answer still remains the same. It depends on the deal, depends on what's on the table, but you could do whichever way. That's another great question, thank you. And I think I wanna invite Zibu on the line. She's really been waiting and patient for far too long. Hi, Zibu.
I'm so sorry. I think it was because I turned on the mic for a hot second to say hello, and I apparently did not turn it off, so I really apologize. I was not
waiting. No stress, no worries.
Which I think means Nomple can ask her other question.
Oh, she already has, but I guess can also step in. If you've got a question, you can fire. Since I already have you can fire away. Otherwise, we can invite someone else maybe to take maybe 2 more questions, if there are.
Nothing to request at this point. Thank you.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Zibu. Okay, guys, who else has a question? It's now 6 o'clock. We can end it. Yeah, we've got a solid hour of recordings, which you guys can check out later. Or we could go for another 30 minutes. I'm here. I'm here for you. Hi, Nobushe and Ashraf. Oh, Nobushe. Hi, Nobushe.
No, I think since you said you have got 30 minutes from now on. No, my man just got swiped off when you said your daughter has got this thing. We don't know what it is. And then you could make a deal about it. I was wondering. Now my man just focus on that. I wonder what it is. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's what they call a hook. You know, when an episode of your favorite soapy goes to an ad break and things start exploding, and then you have to sit and wait, or at the end of the episode, things start exploding and you have to wait for tomorrow's episode. Sorry to do that to you, but yeah, you'll wait till Monday.
Yeah, the other thing is, see, yesterday when I was listening to the budget, I've seen some smaller nyana opportunities for me there.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes. As I was listening to Tito yesterday, I saw a potential.
Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to talk about it offline and then take it from
there?
I would
like to talk about it offline because...
Okay, cool. All right. Maybe. So we'll make time and then we can chat and then we can talk about it.
Thank you.
Cool. All righty. Thanks, Nobushe. Ash, I see you, but I also see that Sho has her hand raised. Let me take Sho because we haven't had her on the line yet. And then after that, I can come back to you, Ash. Would that be fair?
Cool.
Cool stuff. You sound very far, Ash. Maybe unmute yourself, sure. And then sure. I'll call you back on the line. Cool. Thank you.
That's cool.
All righty. Sho, over to you.
Yeah, it's not a question. It's just a reminder to you. When we started, we said we would share details of one another. Just a reminder of that.
The notice board.
Yeah, the notice board and the information.
Yeah.
Just cool. That is a question. And thanks for today's session.
No worries. I guess, well, that's timely, what you just said. In fact, I was looking at it today, as it were. But I think I'm glad you brought it up because I would like to invite, since I've got everybody on the call, can you guys send me your profiles? If you can just email me your company profile, just so that I can put that on the notice board so that everybody in this group can know who's who and who does what, because there could be opportunities actually. In fact, there are already people that I want to introduce to each other in this group because I see potential, you know, synergies and stuff. But yeah, I think that would be helpful. I think that's clear. If you guys can send me your profiles, I'll put them up on the notice board so that everybody can view them. So that's one. The other thing, if you are comfortable, you can also maybe mention what kind of partnerships you're looking for so that we can put those up. You don't have to name companies, by the way. You can just say, the partnership I'm looking for, Sia, I'll use Ash, the example, that since we spoke about this publicly, let's say I'm looking for venues for this type of event, or I'm looking for this, so that, because people, we know people, like in this call alone, I mean, we've got networks, you know, so if we know who's looking for what, there could be, people could get help from other people here, say, oh, my uncle is Tito Mbaweni, actually, as it were, and yeah, I can introduce you to him. So if you guys can do that, please email me your profiles, and if you feel comfortable and if you want to, you could say what kind of deals, your partnerships rather, you would like to do, and then we'll put all that up on the notice board so other people can see it and help you where they can. Great, thanks, Lo. Thanks for that reminder. Ash, back to you.
Sure. Thanks, yeah. You're so much maybe on this call, eh?
Thanks, man.
So, as you know, part of, I consider myself to be an entrepreneur with diverse interests.
With what?
With diverse.
Diverse. Okay.
Yeah, diverse all right. Interests.
Cool.
And one of the areas that I am looking to make an impact is in the social entrepreneurship space.
Mm-hmm.
And in the social entrepreneurship space, I've got two focus areas. One is to make a positive social impact in affordable housing or inclusionary housing.
Okay.
And the second one is in youth organizations where I would like the kind of education that they receive to be transformed more to like entrepreneurial type of education that benefits them in the real world. Okay, so that is the impact that I want to create in those two markets. Now,
okay.
In last week's call, you mentioned something interesting. You said, for example, and I mean, a lot of the institutions that operate in those two sectors could be, let's call it, non-profit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I asked you the question as to when do we structure the deal whereby, you know, the person that comes on board or the third party that comes on board to sponsor, when do we charge, so you mentioned almost like there's a, like certain sponsors would like to only get involved if there's almost kind of like a, you know, it's like we're donating some, or the NPOs are benefiting from this, and there's, you know, the NPOs are not getting charged for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically looking at like different ways of structuring partnerships in those two types of sectors. Or maybe I'm being a little bit too broad at the present moment, and maybe I should think about it in more detail and bring that to a next call.
Okay. Yeah, I think you can do that, Ash. Okay. But I do remember your question from last week. And I remember what I said was that stuff is still coming up. I will be covering it in the coming okay. weeks. So if that was going to be your question, the question that you asked me last week, we just said, let's hang 10 on it because it's stuff that's still coming up. So you can rest assured I will cover it. But if it's a different question, maybe give it a bit more thought and narrow it down a bit for me so that I can wrap my head around it and then we can unpack it program.
So I've just clarified a little bit more in my mind, right?
Okay, cool stuff. Thank you, man.
In the example of, let's say, the affordable housing industry, there are several affording housing companies in Cape Town that can afford to, let's say, participate in, what do they call this, executive roundtables.
Mm-hmm.
One could, for example, charge an executive to be part of that kind of a forum or something, but then maybe getting another company, but maybe like a for-profit company to sponsor an event like that. And it doesn't necessarily need to be an executive roundtable. It could just be me being the connector of let's say, leaders in a particular industry and bringing them together to discuss, you know, matters of mutual importance.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too vague?
It is vague, at least for me. Maybe other people on the call understand it, but I'll comment, and if somebody else on the call wants to chip in and maybe even answer your question, because it's a bit vague for me, but I just want to comment quickly. The comment I want to make is that it's easy to get pulled in a lot of directions. That's unfortunately one of the curses of being an entrepreneur, if I may call it. I know a curse is a strong word, but it's really one of those things that can steal from us as entrepreneurs. And the danger of having tools is that it's almost like having a hammer in your hand. And it's when they say when you've got a hammer in your hand, everything looks like a nail. You just want to hit it. So I want to just caution us. And I'm glad you did this. You asked me this question, Ash, because we've already answered two questions about two specific projects that you are currently working on. And there's just one of you. You've got a coaching program that you want to bring to life with, which we spoke about earlier. You've got your daughter's school, which you also want to help with, you know, the whole, those are not small projects as they are. But I know, because you're a property guy, you know, you're a property investor. And I know that you've got a long history in this space. So it's part of who you are. It's part of your DNA, basically, the whole housing space. But I would hang 10 on that for now, at least for this week. Let's get the two things that we discussed moving before we start spreading ourselves too thin. Because here's my fear.
Cool.
That now we're going to answer that, maybe come up with a plan for that. But when are we going to find time to execute on all these things?
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to have, it's almost like building three houses at the same time with limited resources, which is time in this case. And then halfway through, you run out of resources. You've got three walls that are halfway up and you've used up all your bricks. And then you're like, oh man, I wanted to bring, let's build one house.
Yeah. And
build it to the top, and then hand over the keys to the owner, and then let's build another one. So that would be my suggestion, not just to you, to all of us on the call, to say, let's try and organize ourselves. Because once you've done one of these deals, it actually becomes easier to do the second one than to try to do three or four at the same time. There will be a time when you can do 10 deals. 10 partnerships, which I encourage, by the way, at some point, though, not now. Right now, let's just get let's get walking, and then we can start running marathons. So for now, Ash, if you don't mind, I mean, I don't want to do this to discourage you guys.
No, I'm very.
Are you cool with that?
I'm very happy with your feedback, Sia.
I don't. Cool, man. No, we can look at it, definitely.
Yeah.
So that's one piece of advice. Yeah. One other comment from me. Sorry, Ash, to cut you. One last comment on this topic is just generally, I find that it's easier to do things in the areas where we are already invested in terms of our focus, our time, our money, meaning in most cases, meaning our own businesses. I find that it's hard, especially in this day and age where every email you get is about how to make money right now, how to make money in these conditions. What are people selling online right now? I find those types of, there's a lot of that going around, which is all about being an opportunity seeker. And I wanna make sure that one of the outcomes I don't want you guys to get out of this program is an outcome called opportunism, where we look at things from the perspective of where else can I make money, really. I just find that money gets old, you know, especially when it's not attached to something that means something to you. That really fires you up, that gets you up in the morning, that speaks to your soul. So I don't want us to, because we know we are able to do these things, or we are learning to do these things, to become opportunity seekers, to say, where else can I make money? Where else can I structure deals? Let's do things that are meaningful to us in ways that actually benefit people, you know? There's nothing better than to get paid a lot of money when you know that other people, because of you, are getting 10 times the value. That your question kind of triggered this comment from me, not because that's what you're doing, because like I said, you're a property guy. So it only makes sense to be asking me about housing and things like that. But just because we already touched on two other things, it just reminded me of this. So it's not directed at you. I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of us. I don't want us to just think about money, or where we can make money just generally. This would be a lot easier when it's things that really fire you up. You'll see. But I know that all of you guys have passionate things that you are all about. But But I just had to throw that in there because I thought it was important. Anyway, thanks, Ash. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we wrap up?
No, I just wanted to say it. If any of you have done the StrengthsFinder assessment, so my number one strength is strategic. My number two is maximizer. So because the forum is open, I was just. It's just naturally I go into maximizing mode.
I like that. No, look at benefits. To be fair, it's beneficial, because if I didn't get questions today, well, I wouldn't have had anything to say and nobody would have been richer for it. So I want to thank you guys. One, I want to thank everybody on the call for coming through. I know people are busy, this is just another thing to add to your busy days. And I appreciate that you guys make this effort to be here. Some of you are on the road, but you still make, an effort to connect. Really appreciate that. So thank you to all of you. And I want to thank you guys who also participated on the call today with your questions, because I'm sure it helped other people as well. So thank you to all of you guys. And let's keep going. And yeah, thank you. That's it, guys. I don't want to take another minute. It's not necessary. Thank you. Have a great evening. I'll try and get the recording ready for you by end of tomorrow. Thank you, guys. You have a great
evening. Thank you, Sia. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, Sia. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, Ed.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much. See you guys next week.
Cheers, Ash. Bye, everybody.